The proper design of the pulpit is to establish and strengthen righteous character in men. And so the preacher comes forward not by his own authority, but as a representative of Jesus Christ, not to establish and impart teachings from nature or philosophy, but to exhibit and enforce the religion of the Bible. Indeed, this evening is given to me a great responsibility of speaking as the oracles of God, and it is certainly my intention to do so, to learn a lesson from God's inspired word. Among the ancients, the impossibility of evading the law of God was already an established fact. We find in the time of the patriarchs, in Job chapter 4 and verse 8, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness shall reap the same." Since the introduction of sin, man has fallen victim countless times to self-deception. The Bible teaches this to be the case in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, wherein it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Thinking that sin can give fullness of life, and that they can escape the consequences of sin, many scatter their seeds unto wickedness and reap sweet fruits of bitterness. It has happened unto them, even as Hosea chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way." Even now, after years of understanding, it seems that there is a greater need of establishing these truths today. Many have forgotten or neglect to think upon the great consequences of sin. "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. He that soweth unto sin shall reap death. He that soweth unto ungodliness shall reap certain destruction. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Understanding these truths and the scarceness of individuals who will practice these principles in their lives, we continue with the message of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. In understanding this particular passage, we find several words of interest. Be not deceived. Here is a word which describes unto us a man that wanders, a man that is forgetful. He wanders from God and forgets that sin brings great consequences. The word deceived comes from the word that we have today for planet. And just as a planet is defined as something that wanders in the sky, so it is with the individual who lives a life of sin. That wandering will eventually get him caught in certain destruction. We also recognize the word mocked. It has the idea of one sneering at God, turning their nose up in high-mindedness, thinking that they can escape the consequences of sin. God says that sin will bring destruction, but man says, I can escape. There is safety in sin, and I will prove to God that I can. We further understand that corruption carries with it the idea of destruction. It conveys the idea of a putrid corpse in the process of decomposition, decay or rottenness in the flesh. And this is the result of sin, the Bible says. And last of all, we have the word life everlasting. It was the Greek word used for perpetualness. That is to say, life without end. It is God's very own life. And when we come to understand these significant terms in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, we find out that man must not wander from God, that man cannot turn his nose up at God, that if man indulges in sin, then he shall find rottenness to his soul, and man, if he continues in righteousness, shall have perpetual life. It goes on to say in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not grow weary. That is to say, we must not become relaxed or exhausted. Faint not. The things that we do must not become insipid or boring to us. We must have joy in well-doing. And this is the perseverance that must take place, especially when it comes to sowing a character of righteousness. And so, without further delay, let it be understood once and for all. Instead of sowing offenses and indiscretions to the flesh, let the people of God learn to plant the seeds of righteousness in their hearts. It is high time that the churches of Christ awake from their slumber of sin and arise unto righteousness. In learning from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, we find several things which will guide us into securing the growth of righteousness in our hearts. Number one, we must not wander from or forget the seriousness of sin. Number two, we must not cease from choosing the ways of God. Number three, we cannot grow relaxed or exhausted in our struggle against sin. And number four, we must never lose the joy of doing righteousness. To begin with, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21 and verse 16, concerning wandering, the Bible says, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. It should be clear in our minds that we can never leave the paths of God. In the Israelite nation, we find a tremendous example. They wandered from the ways of God, and they reaped the same. They reaped destruction of a physical sort and also of a spiritual sort. But we learn the story of one in the parable given to us in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 46, of one who wandered and forgot the seriousness of sin. And so in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 46, the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Here is a perfect illustration of a man who wanders or forgets the seriousness of sin. Even as the scoffers in Peter's time of 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 and following, we have members of the body of Christ who begin to say, where is this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? For we continue today even as we have since our birth. But make no doubt, the Bible says, he that is coming will come and will not tarry. For if we sow to the flesh, we shall be like Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7. We shall sow to the wind and we shall reap the whirlwind. Jude and verse 13. Concerning false teachers who allow their minds to wander from the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, they were as wandering stars to whom was reserved the blackness of darkness forever. In that particular illustration, we find the most horrifying thoughts, the blackness of darkness forever. It is given to one, a star, who is not subject to the system that God has in place in the universe. And we have seen that star from time to time. As we look up into the sky, we see a star flying with brightness, but in the end, it ceases to shine forever. We call it that wandering or that falling star. And to those who live a life of sin, the Bible likens them unto this, and their consequence, the blackness of darkness forever. And so the Bible reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, but ye were as sheep going astray, but have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. If there is one here this evening who's not allowed himself to return to God, what doth hindereth you? Do we not yet understand that sin brings destruction? All around us, the consequences and the results of sin are evident. But have they made that understanding to our mind that we are willing to throw sin off and continue? Although we know that sin is dangerous, the brethren continue to dabble in sin. The book of Proverbs teaches us in chapter 6, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? So it is with sin. We must not wander from God. And incidentally, this correlates with the first term, be not deceived. Second of all, we realize that a child of God must not cease from choosing the ways of God. In Psalm 119, we find several descriptions of the psalmist's love for the Word of God. But in Psalm 119 and verse 44, he writes, so shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. The psalmist had determined in his mind, already knowing the consequences of sin and what it did to his family, He resolved in his mind that he will continue keeping the commandments of God. He would not cease from doing what was right. We ask ourselves the question, is it possible to maintain a consistent level of righteousness? Is it possible to reach that perfect man unto the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ? When we contemplate upon this very subject, we come to realize that there are three necessary ingredients in order to achieve perfection. Number one, we must have the ability to choose. For if we do not have the ability to choose, then we are wholly evil and we cannot stop doing evil. Or rather, we are wholly good and we will always do good regardless of what we do. We know that these two extremes are not taught within the Word of God, but rather we have a free moral agency. We have the ability to choose between right and wrong. This is what makes us different from the beasts of the field. Number two, in order to achieve that perfection like unto Jesus Christ and maintain a consistent level of righteousness, we need a perfect law to guide us. For man is unable to direct his own steps, but God has given us a perfect law. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable, it is able to teach us, to reprove us, to correct us and instruct us in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. It is a perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1 and verse 25. It is that perfect and acceptable will of God, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We have a perfect covenant given to us by God Himself. That plus free will, we are almost there of reaching perfection. The last part we could not do on our own. We must have the ability or the opportunity to cleanse ourselves from past sin, to start new. And that we have been given through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And all glory to God for Jesus Christ. Even as the Apostle Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." With these three, we can overcome sin. We can always choose what is right. We can have the law of God guiding us and telling us what is right. And we can have the blood of the Lamb over us and cleansing our sins. Now tell me, brethren, with these three, are we able to maintain a consistent level of righteousness? Why not? We find out that the child of God must not cease from choosing the ways of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we have a play on words on my part. The child of God must not cease from choosing the ways of God. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the child of God must cease from sin. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Now that we have become children of God, now that we have received that blood of the Lamb and have washed our robes, let us practice this free will and let us go to the Word of God and find eternal happiness on the day of our death or the coming of Christ. Third of all, we must not grow relaxed or exhausted in our struggle against sin. Be not deceived, do not wonder. God is not mocked. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And let us not be weary in well-doing, the text says. Let us not become relaxed or exhausted in our struggle against sin. We are fighting sin day and day on. And because of this, it becomes wearisome to the flesh. It becomes wearisome to the mind. And we learn that the Bible teaches us, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, we find a great example of us, of why we should not become weary in righteousness. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Notice the same two explanations, wearied and faint. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Notice, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Jesus has resisted, even unto the shedding of his blood, striving against sin. And to the church of Christ, we find it hard just to make ourselves attend the worship service. While Jesus was suffering and enduring the jeering crowds, while they stoned, or rather threw stones, and nailed through his arms, Jesus suffered, and yet he was not weary, nor did he faint. When we begin to grow weary in our righteousness, we feel as if we are going to grow relaxed or exhausted. Think on these things. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 41, we find a perfect illustration of those who were weary and could not keep awake with Christ. This was the day that he was going to be betrayed and killed. And so in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 41, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We notice this illustration, and the same statement can be made to the church of Christ today. What? Could you not watch with Jesus 1 hour? Could we not just for a season maintain a consistent level of righteousness and sow and plant the seeds of righteousness in our hearts? As the book of Romans teaches us, for the glory that we shall see, will not even compare to the things that we are suffering now. They will seem but trivial matters. Oh, when we enter into that eternal home, just think of that home over there. We will look back upon our labors here on this earth, and we will have joy. We will have joy that we overcame, that we stayed faithful unto God, that we endured temptation, and then wearing the crown of life. In Proverbs 11 and verse 18, if we sow to righteousness, we shall have a sure reward. Now notice in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, for we know that sin and the struggle against sin perhaps can grow tiring. And so the scriptures remind us that we must not become exhausted or relaxed. In Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Indeed, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, for their works do follow them. If while on this earth we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is what we hope for, and this is what we can ultimately achieve. And last of all, we must not lose joy in doing righteousness. Many times we begin to lose joy in what is right. We begin to have joy in wickedness. Joy in sitting down in front of the television and watching that carnal show. Joy in turning on the radio and hearing those destructive words. Joy in hanging around that crowd of individuals who has led us astray. We have joy in all types of sin, but we do not have joy in doing what is right. How can we expect to remain in eternity if we do not have joy in righteousness? For in eternity, the Bible says that God is holy, He is light, in Him is no darkness at all. In the book of Nehemiah, we find a very interesting lesson of individuals who renewed their joy in righteousness. And so in Nehemiah chapter 8, we find that Nehemiah was a man who went to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, we read of the account wherein the people were once again taught the law of God. They had for years neglected His word. And when they found out that they were living in sin and that they had a chance to repent, they were overflowing with joy. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stood stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Notice that Nehemiah says their joy was their strength. When we have joy in doing what is right, it is likened unto the secular idea. If you enjoy what you're doing, you will pass the time in ease. If you enjoy righteousness, this life will seem but a vapor. We will not have trouble in righteousness, but we will be individuals who cannot wait for the opportunity to do good. And when that happens, we shall sow to ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. We must not grow weary. We must be joyful in God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23, to those who think that they cannot find joy, it is a necessity, for it is a fruit of the Spirit. And if we have the Word of God dwelling, if we mind the law of the Spirit, and the Spirit indwells us through His Word, then the ultimate result will be joy. Joy in righteousness. And so as we notice these things, what we learn from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, is that we must not wander or forget the seriousness of sin. We must not cease from choosing the ways of God. We must not grow relaxed or exhausted in our struggle against sin. We must never lose our joy in doing what is right. Men and brethren, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, judge for yourselves whether it be a wise thing to sow unto righteousness. As Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. If there is one here this evening who has allowed their minds to wander, who has allowed their joy to be lost, who has allowed themselves to stop doing the ways of God or grow relaxed or exhausted in the struggle against sin, we call. The theme for this lectureship is restoring the character of man to the society of God in the heavens. If any time were better, if any day, it is this day. Even as 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 teaches us, now is the day of salvation. If there is one here not yet a member of the body of Christ, in all humbleness and in all due respect, we ring out the message that you are yet in your sins. We say this not to be harsh, but because we love you, but because we seek to save your soul, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And will you not come, as altogether we stand and sing?